Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Garden Life. My name is Julie Prochinski with my co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, hey. Julie.
Hi, Julie Prochinski.
So this is a recorded interview today with the Farmers Market gals again. Since 1988, Farm and Park has been home to Sandpoint's Farmers Market, an integral part of our community life and an important source of entertainment, family outings, and healthful food. Here to talk about the market's 37th year are familiar guests, Market Manager Olivia Gonzalez and Board President Christina Bauer. Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Julie.
I read that from the your website, that integral part of the community and entertainment. I just thought that was a perfect outline for what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Starting with Olivia, tell us about yourself and describe your life as manager of the farmers market.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having us on, Julie. It's always great to be here. I'm Olivia. I'm a local Sandpoint mom. I've lived here about a little over 13 years now. This is my second season as the market manager. And yeah, it's a dynamic position, which I love. never a dull moment. You know, I'm really grateful. The job offers me a lot of flexibility in terms of my admin, and the work that I do outside of the market hours can be done from home, which is really just a great benefit as a mom to be working. And then, I'm always at the market, and it's fun. It's been a great way to just connect with a lot of different community members, build relationships. I'm lucky to be working with a really involved and helpful board of directors, and yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
And your kids are there with you, I suppose, on the
in and out. Yeah. Days. Sometimes, yes. I think the first market this year, I did send them home with my It's tough to juggle, needs, those different roles in
sure.
one space. But once we kind of hit like cruise control with the day-to-day, then they'll come and they hang out in the booth and
I'd
run
love
around
seeing those kids every weekend, the same kids, growing up at the market. Mm-hmm. And Christina Bauer. Christina is the president of the Farmers Market and owner of Untamed Alchemy, a vendor, a longtime vendor of the market.
Not so long as
not
so
long.
Many others, but I'm fortunate to have been there for the last, what is it now, five? Is this year six, I
good,
think?
Good, good.
So,
introduce yourself, your business, and your role as the leader of the
farmer's
market.
Well, I don't
market.
Know if I'm the leader. I was crazy enough to take responsibility for serving as board president in the interest of being able to, you know, facilitate some opportunities for all of the folks who participate, both our vendors and our visitors, to ensure that the best of what's true about the market remains true, and that we can continue to offer the kind of experience that's unique to the market in this town in terms of, you know, bringing together locals, visitors, vendors, community members, families. I mean, the market really, I think, stands apart, and it's really a joy to be able to, you know, reinforce that and hopefully elevate that.
That's great. It is a very special part of this community, for sure.
Yeah.
So from May to October, every Wednesday and Saturday, a visit to the market proves how popular it is with the community. So let's start with the history of the market. Established in 1988.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the brainchild of Lois Wythe, who is, if you've lived in Sandpoint for any amount of time, you know she's a bit of a legend. She was inspired to ask a number of the farmers that she knew whether or not they might be interested in coming together regularly to be able to offer fresh, locally grown and sourced foods to the community. And she got quite a bit of really enthusiastic response. So the market's kind of anchored in those first farmers who brought what they had to share to market and regularly, you know, made that available to folks. And then eventually we had crafters and food vendors who also joined so that we could add some more dimension and support more of the sort of cottage food and cottage businesses that we have among all of the really talented people that are in the area.
Yeah, that Lois Wythe was really something else. We were just talking with a native Kinnikinick Native Plant Society this week. And, you know, she kind of got that organized to create the arboretum in town. And she must have spoken with the city leaders to allow y'all to have the farmer's market there in that location. So that lady was a go-getter.
She was.
Absolutely. And a real champion of, like, you know, nature, plants, fresh, locally grown food.
Right. I mean,
she was
small
she,
businesses.
Yeah. She was a force of nature for nature.
I want that plaque at the arboretum.
That would be cool.
I'm jotting that down.
So I was looking on your website. Do you belong to any state or national organizations as a farmer's market?
Broadly, the one we're most closely in relationship with is the Idaho Farmers Market Association. They are an incredible resource. And in the interest of transparency, I am now on their board. But they are so proactive in looking for resources and securing programs that can help farmers markets throughout Idaho. And they've been absolutely amazing partners. But really, they're the only one that's sort of state aligned that we're formally in relationship with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any collaborations with other farming organizations like SOAC, the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center, or?
Well, we have what I would call sort of soft collaborations with them. So between the food bank, the Sandpoint Library, Kinnickshue Land Trust. So they're not necessarily like anchored in farms and farmers, but many of them still serve the community in ways that parallel our approach and also our desired outcomes. We've been really lucky that we have some friends at Kinnickshue Land Trust that Olivia has been working with to kind of create some new opportunities. And we are really excited to be partnering meaningfully with the University of Idaho and Idaho State University for some new programs this year. So in short, like the U of Idaho, the folks up here locally are going to help us to do an economic impact assessment, which I think will be important for us to know, you know, what our big picture value is in the community. And Idaho State University has a pilot program that we'll probably talk more about in a little bit later.
Good. Good. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So who can sell at the market? Give us the guidelines of the sellers. Olivia?
I mean, there's like, we have strict guidelines in terms of we have our 100-mile radius from farm and park. You have to be making or growing your products within that radius. We have a lot of other.
Yeah, there's sort of a lot of categories. For farmers broadly, as long as you are the local source and have your, you know, skin in the game of producing what you're intending to bring to market, most farmers can apply throughout the year and there's not much fuss about their application. Mm-hmm. For those outside of the farm category, so most of the crafters and the food vendors, we have a limited application window so that we can kind of put our focus to the jurying that goes along mm-hmm. with that. And broadly, the market's looking for folks who are as much as possible aligned with the market's values and the market's goals. So we're looking for evidence of direct evidence of someone's creativity, whether it's that they have, you know, handcrafted something, you know, so that they're working as much as possible with things that they have transformed materially and meaningfully before they come to market. We're looking at how much they are bringing is anchored in local ingredients or materials or in some way features or celebrates the area so that there's a connection that can be made there. And especially we want to make sure that when folks go to the market and they come to an individual booth, the person in the booth is the person who made or grew the thing so that the passion and the information and all of the details around it are delivered firsthand from the person who brought it to market.
Right. The producer is the seller.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very important point.
Mm-hmm.
So special events are also a big part of the market. Let's talk about what's happening this summer as far as special events go. Let's jump to music. Tell us how musicians are they juried or do they contact you and ask to come in or do you contact them?
Olivia gets overwhelmed. Yeah. They all attack Olivia.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that
yeah.
many?
Yes. Yes.
There's great.
Huge interest in performing at the market. We're already fully booked for our Saturday music for the season. Wednesdays, we're pretty close to being booked. Yeah, there's a lot of people who have played at the market for years and years and years, and they're kind of old favorites. Mm-hmm. And so I always make sure to get those folks in for one or two dates. And, you know, luckily I've been here a while, so I'm kind of familiar. I have connections. If someone applies and I don't really know, I look up their music or I ask around, or there is some vetting. And yeah, it's fun. Booking the music is really fun. I love to see it. I love to see how much the shoppers and people there enjoy it. It's such a great opportunity for local artists to really shine.
Uh-huh.
I hear a lot, oh, it's so nice to play in the morning. It's so nice to play, you know, in the afternoon, even the Wednesday, just kind of something different than that sort of evening time. It's fun. We have a few bands who are starting to do more like some kid focused songs. Mm-hmm. And I love to see that. So yeah, we have kind of like our regulars that I always get in, and then, if anyone is interested, you can go on our website. We have like a music interest form there, or just email.
Okay.
Email the email address on there too.
Tell me about the sponsor program.
Yeah. So that's a new program that we started last year. You know, we're a nonprofit, an Idaho State nonprofit, and our biggest expense beyond payroll of our only employee, me, is our music expense, because we do want to pay these musicians. We really value what they're bringing to the market. So we kind of came up with a sponsorship program as a way to offset that cost. And also, it's just a really amazing opportunity for any businesses, or we had an individual this week. She wanted to remain anonymous, so I can't say her name, but she just loves the market. And she was just like, how can I support? She was so excited. She sponsored this week, and she helped me pick what she wanted, this band, and I got them. And it was just really fun to see her so excited about just being a part of it. And, but for a business, it's a really great opportunity, because we offer signage, and then you get kind of like an onstage shout out. You get featured in our newsletter and our socials. And for someone with a small local business, like, this is an opportunity to get your business name in front of people who are already supporting local small businesses. It's the demographic that cares mm-hmm. about that.
Right.
And, you know, people are happy. People love the market. Mm-hmm. And so we just thought it would be a really great opportunity to give local businesses a chance to be a part of the market.
That's mm-hmm. great. You can engage the people, and they have, you know, skin in the game, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's great exposure directly from, you know, the local business to both local and visiting folks.
Yeah, for sure. I know the kids' date isn't set yet, but tell us a little bit about the kids' market, and that it will be set in mid-July.
It will probably land on either August 15th or August 22nd, which are the dates. It's landed on like the third weekend, but we need to double check. We still don't have that date formally.
Okay.
Confirmed, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that features kids.
Yeah, local kids. I think it's kind of nice to give them a month or two off in the summer to really work on their offerings. So yeah, last year we had a little over 30, I think there was 32 kids who signed up to be a part of it and showed up on the day. And it's one of my favorite days for sure. It's amazing how much time and energy these kids put into their booths, mm-hmm. and they take it so seriously, which is really lovely to see. We had some really young vendors last year. It was so, so sweet. Like, obviously their first year, but just really just jump into the task. And yeah. It's definitely one of my favorite days.
And amazing, varied mm-hmm. products.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was authors.
Yeah.
You know, there were farmers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was great. Mm-hmm. It was amazing what those kids get up to.
Very eclectic.
Very eclectic.
Well, do the regular farmers also come that day, or is it just mm-hmm. entirely kids?
Yes.
Regular vendors are there as well.
All right. Yeah. And
typically,
then the kids too.
Yeah. Typically, we occupy the same space we do in Farm and Park and on Oak Street, and then the kids take over Jeff Jones Square.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. They're in a circle, and it's a very neat neat event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're market kids, a lot of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Many of them are. And many of them are really talented.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah. Some of them have been doing it for years and years. And so they know what sells and what and they know how to make like a beautiful thing. And it's impressive. It's impressive to see. Yeah.
They love to make money, I imagine.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. It's fun.
Yes. Let's talk about the SNAP and the DUFB programs. Is that back in place?
I wish it were.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, SNAP certification remains kind of elusive for us because there have been really significant program cuts at the federal level. So after continuing to struggle to ask for support in initially our reapplication and now a new application, as market season approached and it became clear we probably wouldn't have this in our pockets in good time, we've been really fortunate that our friends at IFMA and at Idaho State University, they have secured a grant for a program that is basically a farm voucher program. And we were selected to participate in that this year as part of their pilot. So we will this year, hopefully very soon, because we're just sort of exploring the beginnings. We should have a way to help offset the expenses for those folks who previously relied on SNAP so that they can have some help in getting their produce directly from local farmers.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, we're doing what we can.
What will that look like? There would be an application or something for people that would have to make application or just show up?
You know, I couldn't speak to it yet because it's Idaho State University that is responsible for the program, and we're eager to hear from them. They're still sorting out their details, but as soon as we know, we will be letting folks know because we continue to have people asking about when they can expect some kind of relief associated with SNAP or parallel to it. So we're going to do our best. Yeah.
Exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
So these collaborations are working for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay. Anything else as far as special events, like anything happening at KLT, for example, Olivia?
Yeah. Well,
give us the scoop.
Yeah, we've been in dialogue with the amazing folks at KLT, just trying to figure out how we can collaborate and work together to bring a really special event to the community. And we've kind of landed on an idea to do sort of a trial run of a joint night market together. And that will look like we're going to do it the first Wednesday of July. And we're going to keep our usual Wednesday market happening for the folks who are really rooted in that event. And also offer a auxiliary market experience at KLT from 5 to 7.
Mm-hmm. At the Astor Garden?
At Astor Garden Center. Yeah.
And listeners, if you're new to the area, KLT is the Kinnexu Land Trust, a really great nonprofit organization that's been here in the community for a long time, like maybe 15 years, I would say.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah.
And now they've bought Astor Designs. Mm-hmm. I believe it's on Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have a really nice outdoor space there. So that should be
beautiful,
a fun experiment, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
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 Great. Any plans for the big birthday party, the 250-year USA birthday party?
Not formally, only because we're all going to be at market at the same time that, like, you know, lots of other things are happening all around town. And we know there are many organizations that are setting up their own festivities for the day. So I expect there will be some extra good cheer and celebrations and probably a few flags, but we don't have anything that I'm aware of that's exclusive for the day.
Mm-hmm. And who else is at the market? I know sometimes you see I don't know if you'd call them vendors, but different organizations within the community. Who are they?
Yeah, well, we have a offering to nonprofits, and you know, some school organizations jump in and do it where we allow them to have a complimentary booth space for two Wednesdays and two Saturdays a season. So that's kind of why you'll see. I think maybe the swim team is this weekend, or you know, like different. Mm-hmm. They'll come and just to get the word out, and sometimes they'll sell certain things as a fundraiser. And then we do the Master Gardeners come pretty regularly. and
help gardeners with problems or issues ideas.
Sometimes offer little freebies.
Okay.
They're great.
I think U of I Extension has.
I think they have.
Part of the Master Gardeners.
Is that the same
thing?
Yeah.
And then the bookmobile.
Yeah. The bookmobile is always there every Saturday.
Yes.
She comes and, it's a really fun, really fun.
Or should we call it the book van? It's a little bit different look this year, but I'm so glad they have it. That's an important thing. So share with us your favorite moments of the market. Thinking back, what have been your favorite moments or what tickles you the most about being part of the market?
You want to start?
Well, I'm tough. This is hard for me to answer because I have a hard time holding on to like one thing as the thing. I have kind of a running list, all of which contribute to, the overall feeling that I have as a participant. But everything from like the cheerful and warm well wishes from fellow vendors as we're all setting up and, checking in and wishing each other a good market to, watching the kids, especially playing in the park and families dancing to the live music, overhearing conversations from folks who are visiting that are commenting on their experience and the positivity of their experience as they join us on an individual weekend. Inevitably, I like collecting delicious goodies for myself. And as someone who has come to rely on our farmers as opposed to my own garden, I mean, most people produce things that, I can never get a cabbage like that or strawberries like that. So a lot of seasonal things as they come into season, I get excited about, the fact that I can get my hands on some of those really delicious things from some of my favorite people. And, there's always a chance to, if I get a chance to walk around the market during the market, that I'm always really moved and impressed by the craft and what other people are doing. I mean, it's really kind of amazing how many different kinds of people and different kinds of things are available to experience there. And I love to just walk around and see it like I'm a visitor, even though I don't often get to be.
Not just vegetables too. There's meat and eggs cooking vendors this year? Any vendors making
bread? I bet there's bread.
Oh, yes. There are bread vendors. And we've got lots of different bakers, actually. There's bakers kind of across the spectrum. So you've got you've got cake bakers. You've got regular sort of raised breads bakers, sourdough bakers. You've got folks who are doing more like treats and sweets and pastries and that kind of thing. There's a really wide variety.
And cheeses,
cheese, the feta cheese, and
cheeses, all the fresh produce, and then a lot of our farmers are beginning to bring sort of like farm sourced but not fresh produce products. So we have one of our farm vendors is a family of farmers at Fortunato Farms who grow mushrooms, and they also raise a number of fiber animals, and they've begun bringing some of the fiber from there. So like there's also kind of like these extended things of sometimes it's products made with things that are sourced from the farm that are not quite fresh produce, but equally amazing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
A lot of ingenuity, farmers have to be on top of things for sure.
Yeah.
To keep making a living.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us again the market days, the hours, and the locations. Location.
Yeah, so it's all in Farm and Park right now, except for that first Wednesday in July. We'll also have an evening market at Astor Garden Center. But it's Farm and Park Saturdays from 9 to 1 and Wednesdays from 3 to 5:30.
And Astor Designs will be that same time, or
that will be 5 to 7.
5 to 7. So we'll hear a lot more about that.
Yeah, yes. we hope so. And it will be possible for folks who are interested in experiencing it. You can still go to Farm and Park after the market opens and have time to get to Astor before the event begins there and experience both.
Great. That's cool. Right. Yeah. Now, Julie, you asked Christina about her highlights of the farmer's market, but we didn't ask Olivia.
Olivia.
Or you, okay. Yeah, I mean, I second everything Christina said. That was such a wonderful answer. And I kind of, I had a thought. I always love the kids and the babies. I love my market babies that I see really regularly at the market. One part that I'm really coming to enjoy is kind of like the 15 minutes before the market starts, because everyone's sort of set up and excited, and we have a policy where vendors can sell to other vendors, but we can't yet sell to the community until 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. So you'll kind of see all the vendors like going around.
That's when we get to shop. Yeah.
Cute. It's just a very like fresh time in the morning, and I love to see, like, it's like, oh, okay, we're mm-hmm. ready to open our doors for a big party. Something kind of feels like, oh, yeah, the house is clean, come in, everybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly really, what it feels
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
We lift the curtain.
It's satisfying.
Yes, yes.
And then one other memory, I think I've shared this story before, but I loved this moment. It was a Wednesday, and I saw a Sandpoint police officer kind of roaming the park, and I was like, oh geez, like someone probably parked, you know, they're probably in a park ticket, like what's something happened, what's going on? And I went to like do something at my booth, and then I turned around and the police officer was on stage singing doing like a little like in his whole get up and everything, like just featured on the keyboard for a song, and I just laughed so hard, and it just was like, oh yeah, I love this town. And
oh
yeah,
kind of a beautiful
I love this town
moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember last year, Christina, what it was, the big storm that came through and everybody gathering and mm-hmm. and collecting all their blowing away things, yeah, and the excitement, and then the community coming together and helping each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A certain amount of rescue happening that day, yes. I think, because we're there rain or shine. But obviously, if anyone is put at risk by really extreme weather, we're pretty quick to respond. But that storm came on really, really fast. So it was everybody working together to get everybody safely, you know, protected and out of the park before it did its worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was there last Saturday, and, you know, it rained. Of course, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
It rained. And John Fersh, he just kept playing.
Oh, I know.
He just kept playing through the rain, the hail, yeah, all of it. It was so great.
Yeah,
get the heck out of there, but he was still going.
Yeah. Keeping the vibe going.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's,
you know,
what he does.
The thing about him, he's such an amazing musician. He does not stop. He'll play the entire mm-hmm.
oh, no
hour
breaks
set.
Or anything.
No breaks. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't even pause between songs. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just, I think I asked him last Saturday about it. He's like, I just try to get in the groove. And he just plays the whole time. Yeah,
that's great. That's...
And Julie, you're a longtime farmers market attendee.
Yes.
What are some of your highlights? What do you like best?
I would have to say just the volume of vegetables. You go there and it's just a stack of cabbages or watermelons or carrots. It's just the variety and the volume that those farmers bring in is mm-hmm. is phenomenal. I'm so impressed by them all the time. As a grower myself, I know what's involved with all of that, and picking and coming in and setting up and tearing down. That amazes me every time I go down there. And of course, it's the little pies that are my favorite. Got to find the pies, too.
Yes. Well, I am always amazed at how luscious and fresh it all looks. It just looks like it's going to jump out at you and talk to you and say, come on, take me home. And I do take it home. And I'm so happy I did every
yes.
time
yes.
there's that part. And it does really feel like a party of the community. I don't think you can go to the farmer's market and not run into someone you know.
No.
Never
no,
happens.
You can't.
Yeah. It's just great.
And
yeah.
Let's talk to Christina just for a moment about your business.
Yeah,
Untamed Alchemy.
Yeah, I am currently kind of, like I'm sure many of our farmers have been navigating the very interesting winter and kind of strange spring we've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm currently, the fact that I'm not covered in dirt right now is a bit of a miracle. I had time to clean up, but I'm kind of face first in my garden right now, making
uh-huh.
sure that all the things that I have that are, you know, perennials are still thriving and doing okay, and getting all of my annuals ready to go into the ground so I can, you know, do some stuff. So I'll be going home today. I have blending to do, so I have fresh, quote, fresh products. I make, you know, skincare products, but they're as fresh as possible.
Yes,
so
they
I'll
are.
Be making some things today to make sure that I have enough inventory for tomorrow. But I mean, broadly, I'm responding to when my garden is ready with different things so I can, you know, stock back up on some of the things that I create that feature them. But my priority has been kind of for a while now, my business doesn't get so much of my attention because I'm trying to focus as much as I can on the market. There's been a number of things happening that, you know, feel like it would be wise to stay focused on. And so that's what I've been primarily doing. So my stuff is kind of humming and organic and in some ways is as natural as the things that emerge in my garden. And I'll probably plan for something, you know, more extraordinary later. But right now I'm keeping perfectly busy just keeping up with everything that's coming back and
you have
keeping up with the weather.
A lot of products too. Yeah, a lot of different products. So that has to keep you very busy.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun to be able to, and I hope that all of the vendors at the market share this experience, that it's really amazing to be able to do what you love and focus most of your time against it and then come to the market a couple of times a week and be rewarded and have people engage with you and, you know, purchase and enjoy what you've created. Because I have relationships with people who've been buying my products for years, which is incredible. But just to be able to have the flexibility to be present for my mom, who needs a lot of support, for my garden, which I love being in. I mean, it's like a meditation and therapy all at once for me. Being able to have those things that are so valuable and still have it be enough that my family can, you know, be a part of this community, it's great. I couldn't be more grateful.
It's meaningful for everyone.
I sure hope so.
The vendors, the customers, the community, everyone. So Wednesdays and Saturdays, 9 to 1 on Saturdays and 3:30 to 5:30.
3 to 5:30.
Okay.
With the extra bonus after event on the 1st of July, the Wednesday, the 1st of July.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great talking to you both. Olivia Gonzalez, the market manager, and Christina Bauer, president of the board, and Untamed Alchemy's alchemist. So I just love to look up the history of the markets. And so from being declared obsolete in the 1950s with less than 100 markets nationwide to over 9,000 markets today, the desire for food from a known source bought by a person who grows it shows the need the industrial food system can't satisfy. And that desire is not going away. It's older than the supermarkets, older than these United States. And so all I can say is long live the farmers market.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Thanks, gals.
Thanks so much for having us. Always a pleasure.